before darkness fell, and we'll look at that next week. And what Jesus said was he looked at his mother, and he said, "Dear woman, here is your son," referring not to himself, but referring to his beloved disciple, John. And he said to John, "Here is your mother." You know, I believe the Gospel of Luke was telling us, you know, that if I want to put everything into its proper order, as he was writing to Theophilus, there at the very beginning, we're told that in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus' message throughout the account that I've given to you is about forgiveness and is about salvation, as it is in all Gospels, but I believe that was the real central issue. But now here in the Gospel of John, I believe John is telling us, you know, that the issue is the importance of relationships. And I believe we do see that spelled out throughout the Gospel of John. We see that with Nicodemus, which is there in John chapter 3. We also see in John chapter 4, his dealing with the Samaritan woman. And as we read on, you know, we see that in his dealing with Mary and Martha, in the resurrection of Lazarus, and towards the end of the last week of Jesus' ministry, how he concentrated upon his disciples. And there in John 17, we have the high priestly prayer from Jesus where he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for all believers. And of course, we know from the gospel accounts, you know, that the two greatest commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor. It's about relationships. And there in the cross, as we know from the gospel of Luke, when Jesus uttered forgiveness and that of salvation to a repentant thief, was now a relationship that he cared deeply about his mother, who was suffering intensely in her heart, and his beloved disciple, John. In fact, verse 25 says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.'" Father, as we look to you in the scriptures, help us to understand and to grasp the full meaning of what Jesus was saying in those final hours when he was on the cross. We know them so well, but sometimes perhaps we rush through the reading of it and never able to grasp fully what Jesus is really saying. Though the suffering Lamb of God and in anguish, and yet in absolute control. Father, we've been reminded of the importance of forgiveness and salvation. Help us to understand what it is that Jesus is saying to those who heard it, to those who were near the cross. There was a whole multitude, the soldiers, the chief priests, the scribes. But the two that we will look at this morning will be Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene. They were near the cross, beholding the Lamb of God. Lord Jesus, open our minds and our hearts, that we now will also understand what it means for us personally to be standing, to be sitting, to be kneeling near the cross. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, for Mary Magdalene, that's one person that we're going to look at. The other, as already mentioned, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Just those two for this morning. I wonder what was going on in Mary Magdalene's mind as she stood near the cross. She had yet to grasp that Jesus was going to be raised on the third day. She just beheld the suffering Son of Man, the Savior, dying there on the cross. A very cruel death, death by suffocation, as we know, and as we've learned. And yet I wonder, you know, in her mind, what was she thinking? What was she pondering upon? Try to place yourself in Mary Magdalene's shoes or sandals. What would you be thinking? What would be crossing your mind? Standing there near the cross. And in your mind also, keep in mind, as I already mentioned, the dream that she had of a Savior, of a King, of a Lord, had been shattered. No hope in her mind, not realizing that there's going to be a resurrection on Sunday morning. And perhaps in Mary Magdalene, you know, she's reeling in her mind of an episode that occurred early in her life. We know this from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 2. All that it says about Mary Magdalene in that particular passage there, that Jesus delivered her. The scriptures are very clear in telling us, you know, that she was possessed by an evil spirit. Not possessed by an evil spirit, but out of whom Jesus cast seven demons. And here she is, near the cross. She knew what her life was like, and I know the Bible does not spell out for us when she was possessed by demons, seven of them. The Bible's very clear in telling us that. What her behavior was like, what she said, we do not know. We only surmise because of what other verses tell us about those who are possessed by demons. All that we know is that there was a day in her life that she met a mighty deliverer, Jesus Christ. And he delivered her. He cast out those seven demons. Which, by the way, is a very real thing, even today. Not do we be so absorbed and caught up with that, with the occult or with that of demons or Satan himself. Because the focus needs to be on Jesus. The focus needs to be on the cross. And the Bible does tell us that we need to be unaware of his schemes. That he's about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with darkness. And that's why Paul tells us to wear the full armor of God. But for Mary, she's near the cross, looking at the one who was bleeding profusely. And in her mind, she thought, there was a day he delivered me. There was a day he changed my life. What's going to happen next? She stood or knelt in silence, watching, crying, broken, wondering perhaps, where do I go from here? Well, we pick up with her story again in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. And it says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And so she went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, you know, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, but we don't know where they have put him. See, in her mind, she's still not aware of what had happened that glorious morning. You and I, we know the story. We know what happened. But in Mary Magdalene's mind, she just thought that some robbers came in, they removed the stone and took his body somewhere else. She went to the tomb to investigate, to inquire, to find out. She went to Peter and Peter and John, they went to the tomb and they saw the same thing as well, and that he wasn't in there. They saw, believed, but yet they didn't quite grasp or understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And the disciples, John and Peter, they left the scene, and Mary is still there. And she's outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. It's interesting, you know, almost like a three-point sermon. She went to the tomb. She stood outside the tomb, and she went to look inside the tomb. And all she saw were two angels where his body had been. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And again in her mind, she's saying, "I don't know where they put him. Can you tell me where they've taken my Lord?" And at this, she turned around as she was backing out of the tomb, and there was Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. She didn't realize it. And he said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" And thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." In her mind, she's still thinking he's dead. He's not alive. "Tell me what you've done with him. Please tell me." And all Jesus says to her was, "Mary. Mary." And readily she recognized his voice. And when she recognized her voice, she cried out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I'm not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." It's a difficult passage as far as, you know, why wouldn't someone want to hold on to Jesus? I think Jesus knew, and the reason why I say this, you know, because when you look in the Gospel of Matthew, there you find that there were other ladies at the tomb as well, and as they were leaving the tomb, Jesus appears to them, and they clasp his feet, but he doesn't tell them, you know, "Let go of me, because I'm about to go to the Father," but rather he says, "Go and tell my brothers," as they were worshiping him. And I believe, you know, at this time, I believe in my mind anywhere, you know, as far as with Mary Magdalene, he said, "Mary, you know, I'm going to go back to the Father, but there's going to be some days that you're going to see me. I'll be around. I'm not going back yet. There will be a time that I will. But go and tell the brothers." And when Mary gets up and leaves, she reports the good news, and she says, "I have seen the risen Savior. I have seen Jesus." So, Mary Magdalene, what does it mean for you to stand near the cross? What does it mean for you? She said, "To be honest with you, when I was standing near the cross at first, I was bewildered. I was confused. I wasn't sure what to think. All that I know is that one time in my life I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. My life was at one time in shambles. It was tormented greatly. And now I'm delivered. But now that I know what the good news is all about, that it's not about just being there at the cross and seeing Jesus dying for me, but that he did take my place to redeem me, I understand that now. And I can testify to the fact that Jesus is alive. For I've seen him." To be near the cross is to testify to the fact that Jesus is no longer on the cross. But as Mary Magdalene testified, Praise God, he's alive. My Savior is alive. What does it mean for you to be near the cross of Jesus, to experience freedom, liberty, that my burdened soul found liberty because you and I, we have the good news. We know that Jesus is alive. What's your testimony as you stand near the cross? What was it like for Mary, the mother of Jesus, to be standing there near the cross? We know that in the Gospel of John, she is mentioned or referred to there in John chapter 2, the very first miracle that took place with Jesus. And as we go back to that account there in John chapter 2, we see something very interesting there. It says there, on the third day of a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." It's not that Mary, his mother, was telling him what to do. She was just reporting a situation. And we think that Jesus' words are kind of rude or harsh, you know. Why do you involve me right now? I mean, could you imagine, you know, any earthly mother, you know, kind of going up to their son or their daughter, you know, and say, you know, here's a problem. You haven't taken out the trash yet. And we can say, well, Mom, my hour hasn't arrived yet, you know. I'll take it out when I'm good and ready. You know how far that would go. And I believe, you know, that what Jesus is saying at this particular time, as far as the hour has not arrived, Jesus was fully aware that he was about the Father's business. And knowing that all things, whatever Jesus would do, be under the direction of his heavenly Father. And John does spell that out for us in his account, the gospel account. And it's interesting, Mary says to the servants, "Do whatever he says." And we know the rest of the story, where the water was turned to wine. And perhaps as we look at this passage and dig into it, but also in the passages that follow, the hour has not come yet, that Jesus is talking more about internal cleansing, though there was external cleansing mentioned here. He was talking about life can be full of disappointments, but with me, there is joy. He could talk about life is full of emptiness, but with him, there is fullness. And Mary, as she's standing near the cross, she remembers it was a festive occasion. It was a joyous occasion at a wedding. And now she stands near the cross. The sorrows, perhaps, of a funeral. But you know, there in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 35, it was Simeon that said to Mary, "Mary, a sword will pierce your soul." And as she's standing there at the cross, that sword was literally piercing her soul. As it would for any mother, can you not imagine, as Jesus or as Mary is looking up at the cross, at her son, the Son of God, the Son of Man, how he was bleeding, how his body was scarred and marred. Could you not picture, if you were the mother, as any mother perhaps would, when they see that their child is hurting and wounded and scarred, and perhaps in a way she's beginning to reminisce, and she remembers the time when she cradled him in her arms? She remembered a time when his tiny hands and tiny feet would just wiggle as she was holding him, and how he would literally reach up and grasp his little hand and cling to her one finger. And now she sees those hands and feet pierced with nails. As a mother, I'm sure she remembers the time that she would bend over and kiss his forehead. It's amazing how babies are just, you know, loaded with kisses. And she remembers that time. And now his forehead is crowned with thorns. She remembers when he was just a little boy out playing and running and having fun and hearing him laugh and giggle. And sometimes maybe running so fast that his legs would get in front of him and he would tumble and fall and maybe skin his knee. He was a little boy. He was man, a boy. And she would run to his rescue and to pick him up and to nurse him to health. And there she sees her son, her arms aching, perhaps to hold him one more time. Because she senses the hurt. She senses the pain. But she stood there, watching, beholding the Savior, dying for her as well. Not until that resurrection morning did they fully embrace and understand what the resurrection was all about. But in that moment, as Mary, his mother, was standing there, Jesus thought of her. He cared for her. And he said, "Mary, behold your son, my beloved disciple. John, you have the responsibility to take care of my mother." And he took her into his home, as the Bible tells us. And I believe the point is that it's all about relationships, the love that we have with our Father and the love that we have for others. People are wounded and people are hurting. And reaching out to them and to let them know that we care about them. We may not be able to know how to fix their problem, but we can bring them to Jesus and we can be there with them. It's about caring for those who are hurting. And we see that in the life of Jesus. So, what does the cross mean to you? What does standing near the cross mean to you? Maybe it can be declared in the two songs that we will sing during communion. Maybe for you it might be the old rugged cross, and to declare it with faith and hope. Or maybe it's when I survey the wondrous cross, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all, perhaps. Or maybe it may mean something else for you. Let's prepare our hearts for communion in the light of God's word, of what Paul says there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sorry. Paul says this: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Beloved, this is for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing the fact what Christ has done for you and what he offers you even right now. And even while you're seated here, you know, and you say, "Pastor, I'm just not sure if my heart is right with Jesus. I feel all lost. I feel, you know, that I'm not in a right relationship." You know, right where you're seated at, Jesus will hear your cry. And he'll be there with you. And as we take of these elements, as the bread will be passed out to you, it is then that we will sing the old rugged cross. And the words will be printed on the screen for you. And likewise, when the cup is passed out to you, we will sing, "When I survey the wondrous cross," and again, the words will be printed for you on the screen. Let those words that you sing be the prayer of your heart as you stand near the cross of Jesus. Father, the Scriptures exhorts us to examine our hearts. In light of what we've heard of forgiveness, salvation, relationships, caring for others as you cared for your mother. People are hurting, people are wounded. And we pray that we will have the mind of Christ to reach a hurting world with the gospel message of Jesus. But also, Father, I pray that as we prepare our hearts in receiving of the bread and the cup, that indeed, that as we sing the old rugged cross, as the bread is passed, and as we sing, "When I survey the wondrous cross," when the cup is passed, Lord Jesus, that you suffered and bled for us to pardon and sanctify us, to set us free. May we relish this time as a body and draw us close to you. Jesus, thank you. In the gracious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let us join our hearts and voices together as we sing the old rugged cross. Oh, that old rugged cross, I will ever be true. There in that upper room 2,000 years ago, Jesus broke the bread and gave to his disciples. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us partake. Once again, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are the bread of life. And there in that scene 2,000 years ago with your disciples, you broke the bread and you gave to them. And you said, this is my body given for you. Oh, Jesus, you've given to us life. You've given to us freedom. There our burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And together we will sing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And once again in that upper room, as Jesus looked at his disciples, knowing what was about to happen, to unfold, he said to them, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. Let's do so. Lord Jesus, as each of us in our journey take that moment, that time to stand near the cross, to behold Calvary, the Lamb of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, bearing our sin on his own body, brought about the most marvelous gift through not only his death and burial, but more importantly, the resurrection, the gift of eternal life. Love so amazing, so divine, demands our life, our soul, our all. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our place on Calvary's tree. Thank you for words of endearment, of forgiveness, salvation, and that of relationship and caring. Father God, may we take that same message into a world that's dying and hurting. The message of forgiveness, the message of forgiveness, and the message that we care. That we care. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. I invite you to take your hymnal, please, and turn to hymn number 187. 187, let us declare our love to Jesus by singing, "My Jesus, I love thee." 187, please.
is
now. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Because of the cross, he cared for his mother, and he spoke to her. Likewise, today, the sword may be piercing your soul due to anguish or pain or whatever, but know with certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we serve and who is alive, he cares deeply, and he loves you deeply than you can ever imagine. Rest in him and go with his peace. Amen.